Is your business getting buried by excessive expenses?
Mine is. Winter's here, and it's not going to get easier.
You need to do something about it now.
More than half of small businesses have cut costs this year.
We're having to do that right now.
Stay tuned as we discuss what areas to cut back on and what areas we're cutting back on.
And which area you should focus on.
And how not to lose money during the winter season.
And a bonus thing, where's Steven?
Oh, Steven, where are you?
So it's about that time again. I know for you guys who've been doing this for multiple years, you're like, we've been here. We know what we got to do. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what me and Eddie are doing right now and our experience. And then from there, we're going to kind of help you build a structure to figure out what you maybe should do. So for us right now, here's are some of the common areas that we're cutting back on. Number one area is what, Eddie?
Labor.
Labor is the first, most likely your most expensive thing. It should be your most expensive thing, unless you're doing something crazy. Some people after that would be marketing. We don't really cut back on marketing this time. We try to spend as much as we possibly can in marketing, in the marketing that we know that works. So we're not really going to be cutting back in our marketing during this period because we're not like some areas where the business just erodes. We still have people who are a lot bigger than us who make more money during the winter than what we make during the best time of the year. What's the next thing we cut down on?
A lot of business expenses or projects that we otherwise would be doing around, you know, the normal busy times.
Yeah, so what's a couple of those projects?
You know, some of the projects would be, I mean, stuff at the warehouse or, you know, little basic, I guess, repairs and stuff like that, that realistically, you know, we can hold off until, you know, the cash flow starts really picking up.
Yeah. I know for us, priorities just shift. We basically just went through, we literally, like, yesterday just started implementing our budget cuts across the labor standpoint. And then we have to do another one that will probably be next week. So, and it'll be really, we have three hard weeks. We have the second, we have the week leading up to Christmas. We have the week after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's. And then we have that week after there. And then from there, things start to trend a little bit, stabilize. And then once we get to mid-February, things kind of go up from there. As long as if it's a snowstorm, then it kind of, you know, stuff going on, or ice storm, whatever, sleet storm, whatever it's called, but whatever affects Texas, usually at this time. So we actually have Tina here because she actually had to go through this too and hopefully she don't think anything crazy. But. So Tina, how was your experience doing a cut? Like, how did you go through the process on from the labor side?
So I basically just texted my team last night. I was like, I literally at all of them.
Oh, the easy way, huh?
Yeah, I was like, hey guys.
You sent it, you're like, it's done, I'm out of here.
What I said was that, you know, since we did work extra hours in order to make the Christmas party happen, we're going to have to cut back on our labor to kind of balance that out. And so I just told everyone, you know, you're off Monday and Saturday for this week and the next week.
I think a lot of people think, too, from business owners that everyone just walks around like, oh, I just love cutting people. But most times when you cut someone, it's actually a hit to your ego. Because a lot of times we put the employees and our revenue as the two main factors that determine how big our company is for people. And then during the winter, you have to basically eat what you said and put all that down. And then you make these relationships with people. Mm. And you have to be able to cut it out. And usually what we see from our standpoint is that managers kind of go by the whole point of they try to spread the hours across everybody. But instead of what really happens is that leaves you with 10 people who are all mad because they're getting so many less hours, instead of maybe one or two people who just, you know, maybe you allow them to do unemployment, go through the process, and Eddie talking more about that process and everything, but like to go through that process and do that. But realistically, like eventually someone has to get cut. This is seasonal work. Even though in Texas, we might have 9 months of, you know, really all kind of up and up from here and stuff like that. But we still have those basically for us 2.5, really, I would say 2 months, because you have half of December, half of February, and then all of January. So you have those two hard months, so maybe it's 10 months of up and up. So Eddie, walk us through like the whole thing you were telling us about the unemployment thing.
Yeah. So basically, we do is the crew that we have will offer certain things, because either what we'll do is we don't outright, you know, lay people out or fire them. We just, you know, either cut back their hours or just don't put them on the schedule until, you know, we need to put them back on the schedule. And the ones that we really like or we want to keep, or, you know, we understand that, you know, they want to have a future with us, we'll go ahead and offer them, like, hey, if you want, you can submit for unemployment. Here, I'm not sure how it works in every state, so just check with your state. But generally here, they can just, you know, submit with I forgot what the website is, but basically unemployment is Google it. And then once they submit that, it gets a while back. It takes a while, and then we get a letter in the mail. And basically, we have a time to respond, whether we want to appeal it or, you know, or just let it go through. And if we have the agreement that, you know, we're going to allow them to go ahead and collect unemployment, then we'll just let it go through. And then that way they can collect the wages that they would otherwise not get, if that makes sense. So I think it's like a percentage of their total amount of hours that they would normally be working. So all that information you have to relay, you know, like their times and stuff like that, how much they're getting paid, check stubs and stuff like that. So they'll take a percentage of that. You should have like a collection, because you should be getting paid, billed, like, is it every month or so, or quarter?
Yeah. Every single, at least for us, we pay through every single check.
Every pay period. They basically grab unemployment and they put it aside for you. So we have like a huge amount of money. Like a lot of people, like I think throughout the whole business, no one has really gotten it, that. So now we're going to be offering that because we have plenty of money to give through our unemployment. So yeah, we'll give them that option. They'll run that, and then whenever we're ready for them to come back, then they'll come back full time and just hit it like normal.
Yeah, and also too, I think Texas matches. I don't know what matches, but I could be wrong on this right here. But there's also another fund besides your fund that allows it to be able to pay it out. No. So it kind of works out a little bit on there.
Yeah.
So basically, like Eddie said, the biggest thing is Texas is trying to figure out if the person was fired because of layoffs, or were they fired because of disciplinary actions. The only thing issues a lot of people that we've had in the past is fired because they just did something wrong, mm-hmm. or sometimes they just would quit out of nowhere, whatever, yeah. in the past. But I think this year we're going to try to round people up and try to push them through that effort and stuff like that too as well. Because the money's already been paid. It's not like we're going to have to pay anymore. Like, it's already out there.
Yeah, it's not like it's coming out of our bank account. We've already paid for it. But, yeah, it's a good feeling, too. Basically, I tell them, hey, get ready for your little mini vacation. And then they go on their mini vacation. They're collecting money at the house, get to spend time with the family. And then when it's time to go, they're all energized and ready to work.
Yeah, but this is a big reason why we tell them during the busy seasons, especially during our main busy seasons, like in spring and in the fall, we tell people to take those hours. And a lot of people are like, oh, no, I'm good. Like, it's going to last forever. But those 2 months, we do have 2 months. And we tell everybody this is seasonal. Even though it might be 2 months seasonal, it's still seasonal.
Yeah.
And I know for us, we have some people who completely understand and, you know, going to go through the whole process. Because we still get to keep more people than we usually get to keep. We usually, we had times where we can keep nobody besides just Kobe and Garrett Jr. or Kobe and Garrett. I mean, not Kobe, Kobe and Jr. Or and one other person maybe. And now, you know, for the most part, obviously we keep our managers because we have enough work to go through there. We'll keep any leads. Our whole sales team basically stays intact. They just lessen their hours. Our media team will lessen their hours, and they should most likely stay intact. But they're lessening their hours. I think everyone on that team is pretty straightforward on there. And then from the driver's standpoint, because we pay commission, so it's not like, you know, we don't really never fire anybody from drivers that if they're doing good work, nothing like that. So they just get paid whatever the commission is for the work that comes in. And then and maybe one of them might want to take a step back so they can do something else for a little bit and come back. Then from the warehouse side, it's kind of like the main area which we'll be cutting from, because realistically during the winter we don't need a lot of people to run a warehouse. We probably need, depending on what we're doing right there, we might need linens a couple times a week, some dishes done a couple times a week, if that. And then we probably need some crossover, and which could be one person in the morning, person nighttime, and then a manager during the day. And that could be literally the whole thing. And then we'll lessen the hours up to get what you call it. So right now we're going to go from 9 to 5, 9 to 1 on Saturday. And then sometimes when it gets to some months, we might actually just remove Saturday. Mm-hmm. I don't know what days we have. I got to check what we did last year, but I'm pretty sure there's a certain time period we just didn't even do it, just because it got to the less, and we'd be able to do that. So that's a big thing. Labor is gonna be huge, and it's not gonna be easy. And most times, these conversations that you might want to have a little earlier to kind of do, but realistically, no matter what you do, it was never gonna be an easy conversation that you have with anybody, because these are people's livelihoods and things going on, and all that stuff. But don't know, if we get keep more people than we usually would keep. I know for us, so that's always, I guess that's a win for us, not thinking about it.
Yeah, a little off topic, but, you know, there's other ventures besides this that we can, like, shift people from this area that would need the hours, and we can shift them over here on the other side of the business that we have, me and Xavier.
Yeah.
So like staffing.
That, yes, yeah, staffing, and then we have other things, too, that are in the works, so we don't really, I don't think we had, well, we're working on.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm making it my mission and put it publicly. We're going to solve this winter issue completely next year. I had a feeling. It's something. Everything's a problem that can be fixed. Like the whole thing.
I don't think it's a problem. I think it's just like it's just part of the business. You know?
Yeah. It ain't going to be part of our business no more.
No. I mean, realistically, I think we've done a lot of good things. Like what I've been seeing, like the heater thing, we have a lot of heaters, just to say that. I think we have like 25 heaters, and then we have the, I don't know what they're called, the bazooka looking ones. We have like 5 of those, and then actual tent heaters, we have like 1 or 2 of those. We just got a lot of heaters, and those things every week are going out. So like that in itself, and even another, we had this conversation the other day, like we even have an order that came through. All it is 4 heaters, patio heaters, and I think it was like 800 by itself, and then they wanted it like the same day, and it like brought it over like $1,000. So, like, those heaters are right now being very beneficial, and it actually helps us out with this kind of issue where otherwise we wouldn't have had that work because, you know, if we didn't have the heaters to offer, then...
Yeah, and most time heaters bring other stuff, too, because, like, heaters are like tents.
Exactly. They bring tents, heaters. Like, that's why we've been preaching this whole time. Like, if y'all don't have that in your inventory, you need to jump on it because it really does produce more work for you in the winter season.
Yeah. And I know one thing, like, we haven't benefited this because our marketing we're just not really on this side yet. We've been more just from straight to consumer on there. But there's a lot of most people, from what I've seen, get a lot of deposits during these first 2 months of the year.
Yeah.
For the rest of the year. That's not our biggest thing because, like, even though, like, we do a lot of weddings and stuff, but, like, a lot of event planner weddings, that's not, like, the biggest thing in our portfolio. It's mostly just straight to consumer. Now, we're going to be working on that this year to even increase the portion of it even more and on there. And I don't know if you're above us or below us, but I think we have about, like, I think I looked on that list, it's about 50 to, like, 60 event planners that work with us on a regular basis that do more than, I think it's, like, 5 or 6 events with us a year. And then obviously it tails out from there. It could be, and I don't know the exact number on there, but it's not like an area that we like 100% always like on there. And that's one thing we're gonna have to focus on a little bit more next year as we go through the process. But labor is gonna be a big expense. You need to figure out what you kind of, if you had numbers from last year, you can kind of understand a little bit more. And then you can match up the percentage you increase on your marketing and what probably should translate to your actual revenue from last year, mm-hmm. to kind of figure out exactly where you need to be at, and you need to cut your numbers down to be able to work underneath that. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing a lot more money. Because that's one thing that, you know, from my standpoint, like we're going to have really hard, strict budgets coming up this year. It's just the numbers are getting too big to be able to have soft budgets or we can get on there from our side.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we can work on. But realistically, you need to work on your labor and your fixed costs. And so right now, you need to cancel those subscriptions that you don't be using, or you need to take away things that, like, you've been paying your cousin on the table for free or whatever it is. Whatever's going on in your business, you need to start cleaning up your fixed expenses and get down to the only things that are priority to run your business. And if you're up north right now, you probably know this the most right now because you might not be doing any work right now. So all that money that you save from the winter, you need to be having it saved and put up so you can be able to deploy it. And for those, because those things are hard. I know we have 2 rough months, but, you know, they might be over there looking at 4 or 5. I know, especially in Chicago, it's like 5-month period of like roughness.
Yeah. So it's basically every geographic location would have its like strategies on what you would do. Like some people just close up shop. Other guys like ourselves, we can still, you know, be active in the party industry. They'll do like maybe more inside events, or they'll do tents with a whole bunch of heaters to heat the whole area. So it just depends, like, where you're at and the strategy you need to employ.
Yeah, and then which kind of you're going. If you're going, like, realistically, if you're working on festivals and stuff like that for next year, your cash flow might be good during the winter. And then you might just not have, you know what I'm saying, like, and then during the other season, you still sell. So that's kind of like, that's kind of where when I say, like, cracking the code to winter when there. You need to get all the consumer stuff when it's hot, get the festive and business stuff, that those events that occur every year, and then get the event planners. Because if you can line those up, those things happen at different points in time of the mm-hmm. year. Like, you'll see a lot of these event planner stuff early in the year, but then you'll see a lot of the people from, like, festivals and stuff that did stuff maybe where their events are kind of like June, July, all that stuff like that next year. Like, they'll be trying to basically spend the money now to lock in the expenses so that they can write it off in their taxes coming up from the next year. Mm-hmm. So they can have a write-off, and so they'll have the stuff already paid for because from the money that they've already made. So how you do it is kind of like really kind of like depends on which kind of people you're focusing on. And really the more areas that you kind of get into, I'd say those three, there's more than that, but I kind of put it as planners, consumers, and then you have actual like festivals. The next thing would be like just pure businesses who do stuff. But usually they have somebody who's like a coordinator or stuff that does their stuff, and I kind of throw them into that kind of model right there. So I think that can work out for everybody right there. But lower your fixed costs, get them down exactly what it needs to be to the bare minimum, which would be rent, insurance, your vehicle expenses, maybe some debt, whatever you have on there. No, this is not, even though if you save some money up on the side, this is the good time to buy inventory, but I would be cautious. When you do, so if you could do like a, you can purchase it and do like a net 30 so you can be able to watch your cash flow. I think that'll really help you out. Some people, it depends on how you feel about that, how they go with it, but you need to really watch your cash flow because the only time you really go out of business is through cash flow. Tina?
All right. So I have a statistic for us, and the statistic says that for businesses, the rising inflation and payroll expenditure means that the cost of doing business is on the rise from every angle, from increasing human capital costs to materials and shipping to property taxes and building maintenance and utilities. In response, 57% of businesses cut costs over the last year.
Yeah, I think that's like, especially going through the pandemic, it showed that if you were kind of fluff up on one side, that you're going to get what you call it. And I think we all need to take a understanding that like you got to keep your stuff clean, because that cash flow is like everything. Like having positive cash flow on a weekly basis and watching that on a weekly basis is going to really be the difference. And I know for us, that's going to be a very important factor as we grow and stuff too as well. It's like we're not going to be able to, I mean, the weird thing is going to happen is that I say we're not going to be able to take more bets. But just from the amount of revenue that we've been getting and the growth we've been having, we will take more bets than we ever took in, but it will be less riskier for us. And that's kind of what we're trying to get to. So you say you need some help. Well, guess what? We have the ultimate checklist. This is the number one guide to owning a rental business in the world.
Made by us.
Made by us. So this has tons of things on here that you can go through. We have different worksheets to kind of help you figure out what your motivations are. This goes down to how to form your business, how you should run your business, how you should get your 5 stars, how to do your marketing. We have tons of FAQs with different people who ask that we've answered these questions that's inside of here. How to get clients for free, how to get clients paid, basically all the assets and different systems you're going to need. I know I'm looking at you for it. You know, already know this. How to manage the money, which is one of the key things, which you're probably going to spend the most time on there. And then our best thing ever is the 4 keys, which you have to learn inside of this. So make sure you check that up, download it below. It helps support the channel, and it is completely free. Now that we talked about all the ways you need to cut back on, these are a couple of areas where you need to actually invest your time into your money into it. So I'm going to let each one of us name one off. And then we'll keep going until we run out of time. So, Eddie, what's your first thing? And to save is money or time?
So, I'll pick the time. And this is more so whenever things start to pick up. I'd say maintenance.
Yeah, so that's be big. So, like, if you have white chairs and the paint's falling off and it's starting to get rusty on the side, go in and paint those, get them ready for it. If you have tables with the rivets out of them, go in and put those back in there. If you need to sand out all those tables, you can start working on that now. Organization, you get everything organized. So you can do that too. Tina, what's yours?
Honestly, for me, even if we do cut back on hours, we still need to put out the same amount of content. So for me, things aren't being reallocated as much as maybe at the warehouse where, you know, there's a difference in manpower. Honestly, for me, whenever we do need to cut back on things, we don't ever cut back on the amount of content that we push out. So that kind of just means more work and a shorter amount of time for us.
Oh, more work, less pay. No, but I know what you mean. Like, we need to become more efficient.
Yeah.
Working on your efficiencies across the board. And I think that's literally for everybody right now. If you think about it, too. Like, I'm doing the maintenance and a lot of stuff. And most times, it's a lot of unforget maintenance, let's be real. We all got that corner somewhere that we got a whole bunch of broken stuff in there and that we're like, we'll get to it. Well, it's the time to get to it.
Yeah.
And other people are like, it's cold, Eddie. It's cold out here. Well, you still need to get to it.
Yeah.
So my thing during a slow time, I think makes the most sense to me is that this is the time where you get all your policies and processes down. Because these are the policies and processes and your budget and stuff that you're going to use for the rest of the year. Everything else is going to be based off of really that. So, like, and that doesn't cost you anything to get done, just your time. So, like, now there are some money things. Obviously, this is the best time to buy inventory easily. So that's on there. But I think a lot of times everyone goes out and just, I want to buy more and more inventory, but you don't have the processes in place or the things in place to be able to really be able to maximize it. Because, like, what's the point of buying 15 more tents if you can barely get out the 20 tents you already have? So you need to be figuring out a better marketing strategy, like what stuff you can do. Because this is a good time for SEO marketing, too. You can go build those pages out you need to build out so they can start ranking in the spring. You might want to go through and get some more backlinks, update those ads, refine those ads, split them up to be more targeted from a standpoint from, like, from your landing page to your ad, to your actual key, to your keywords, to the actual ad, to the actual landing page. Make sure they say the same thing. Maybe you have a tent ad that you only do for tents. Maybe you do a pole tent ad or something like that. Maybe do something specific for corporate events. You can build that down also to that help with your SEO side, the things you can do.
Yeah. One for me, I was just thinking of is like goals and milestones for next year. That's one thing that I know we're going to do in January. We already talked about that. We're going to fly to Austin and get all that planned out with all our managers. We're even flying over one of our managers, our back office from the Philippines over here.
Donica.
And we're going to sit down, plan out the milestones and what we want to hit on each quarter and basically what the direction of the company is going to go and then what we want the company to make as far as, profitability that's coming near.
Yeah. I think it'd be a good thing for us because we're going to move as one so that all the key people in the company can understand where everybody else is coming from, where we're trying to get to. And what are the main things and challenges we're trying to overcome this year? Mm-hmm. We're not going to obviously fix everything, but the things we are going to put our time into and our priorities into, like, where we lean into. So when things are asked of people, they won't be like, so it won't be there won't be conflicting things between, like, the sales and then the warehouse or sales versus drivers or warehouse versus drivers mm-hmm. or media team versus everybody, you know, because they understand the goals that we're trying to get to, and then we're going to come together and have a plan of how we're going to achieve those goals and how we're going to work together to help each other out. And by the end of it, we should have goals for each individual manager, each department, and then from there, they'll take those down to give to their teams the goals that they need to do on the individual level that's going to help us get to where we need to be at. I know I would really want those goals to be very very numerical, so like stuff that's attainable that's based on the task. So like if you pile up all these tasks up for the whole year, it makes it unreasonable for anybody, the likelihood of us achieving our goal is very unreasonable because we did so many of these tasks. So if we're going to do outreach, then I know like if we're trying to make $1 million, if we do, you know, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 outreaches on there, then I know it's very unreasonable for us to be able to, you know, not meet our goal. But imagine if we did 400 every single day. You know, that number starts to add up a lot. You know what I'm saying? So what is the most unreasonable thing that we can do? Not unreasonable. What is the thing we can do that makes it the most unreasonable for us to hit our goal? And actually, like, keeping the main thing is the main thing. Like, that's like a big thing right there that we're going to have to focus on. Like, not trying to do side quests or other stuff.
Side quests or we're in like, what's it called?
Video game.
Yeah, what's the game called?
GTA.
GTA, oh yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I was thinking EverQuest. Like I'm old school, World of Warcraft. You're like, all right, let me do the side quest.
Yeah, but that's one of the things you can invest in. Like, don't invest in games and going out there. And I know people like this right here.
They're like, oh, it's a slow sign. Let me get on video games.
Yeah,
and then then the busy season comes. They're like unprepared. Like,
still in those video games. but I don't know. To be honest though, the winter is gonna be whatever you make it be. So, like, some people are going to take this as, oh, I'm not going to do nothing right now. But realistically, those killers out there are going to be constantly trying to get more jobs and do those jobs more efficiently to get more profit.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are really, really, those really, really bad killers that you need to watch out for, the people who are going to pass those savings on to the customers while still somehow increasing their profit margins. So those people are the ones going to be dangerous next year because they're going to have all these systems in place, all this new equipment and stuff. They got to go the right place and already have where it's going to go to. So, like, that's kind of where you want to kind of get to. And, like, don't squander this time that you have right now because this is, like, I think is the most time to be on, the time, most valuable time to be on right now because, everybody's going home early or the days are getting shorter. This is a time where you need to be getting your website where it needs to be at. You need to be going out there and getting these processes down and really having a good place so when the busy season comes up, you're not sitting here with deer in the headlights.
They're you know, crazy.
You're about to get ran over and stuff. And when all these orders come in, you need to be figuring out what people you need to hire, who you need to hire, when you need to hire them, what are you going to pay them, what is that going to look like from the money that you plan to make and stuff like that. Do you have the proper equipment for what you're trying to do? If not, you need to figure out how to get it. You know, what is it, steal, borrow, take, whatever you want to call it, and figure it out, save, all that stuff. Figure out how you're going to do it and get it down because this is crunch time right now. And these next 2 months, I think for that, you are most times some of my hardest months to go through. And also, too, I think also the most rewarding, getting the most stuff done, kind of prepares for next year.
So what would you guys say would be your top three areas that you would just completely invest all your money in during this time?
Well, first thing, I would not invest all my money. I guess that's the first
all chips
thing.
Chips in.
But if you were going to do some stuff, there are some stuff on sale. Like if you were planning on making a huge tent run next year or if you're one of those bounce house guys, one of those evil guys. If you're one of those bounce house guys out there, then you know, obviously getting your stuff together and putting a portion of your money on there. But most of the time, I'll be just saving, getting the stuff ready so you can hit it really going. And then do your expenses kind of early March. If the time, really late February for us, be like second week of February. And then you can do your stuff because you know the money's about to come back in. So I would say that is my one. Two is, you said money-wise?
Yeah.
I know for us, I can do kind of like that. We need to get some vehicles up and running so they can be ready. And then we need to probably restructure some people's money allocations across the company to be able to work for us and in for them. You ready?
For sure on the material because, like, right now it's a discounting time. Everybody runs the sale because, you know, not a lot of people are doing business, so. They're just trying to get their inventory out. That way they can get the new stuff in. So I would do that. I'd buy new products if I plan on doing it. I'd go ahead and buy that right now. And then next, I would kind of I would get specialty, I guess, employees. I get them up to par and train. Because one thing it's really hard to do is whenever it's the busy season and you're trying to train them right and get everything fine-tuned. So I'd grab them kind of towards the tail end. So I'd give me like 2 weeks or 3 weeks before it starts getting busy. I would get them trained up and get them ready. That way when the busy season comes, they're not like in shock and like they don't know what to do. And then it would basically be a waste of money every time that they're out there. Because they're generally higher earning dollar amount of people. But for instance, like management or stuff like that. And then thirdly, I had to invest money. It would be like you said, the vehicle, because you can never have enough working vehicles. And generally, everybody that knows, you have that one vehicle that's like holding on by a string, and it needs to be repaired. So I'd go ahead and get that taken care of now. So whenever it loops back around, it's time to run. That thing's good to go, and you don't have to worry about like, okay, is this thing gonna leave me stranded on like a big job or something like that.
Yeah, might as well add another string to it. So you can keep it going. At least you can double up on it. But other than that, Tina, any statistics for us?
Yes. So according to the 50, 30, and 20 model, it recommends that business owners allocate 50% of their profits to paying themselves, 30% to taxes, and 20% for reinvesting in business. And if you are interested in getting your marketing right during the slow season or during this winter, I have another statistic. It says that Google's chief economist estimates that businesses make $2 for every $1 they spend on Google ads.
$2?
That's all. We do way more than that.
Yeah.
How much do we make?
Beep. No, it depends.
That's a secret because then Google's going to say, oh, no, y'all making too much.
It depends on type of year. Sometimes it's around, sometimes it goes from 5 to 15. Just depends on where we're at on there. It kind of, it's like a month-to-month thing. And if you haven't noticed, all this stuff is like, don't try to compare May versus January or January versus October. Like each month should be compared to the last month. And that's how you'll be able to tell how well you're doing, not based off of like consecutive months going up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that time, fresh new year. If you haven't already, time to get your legal affairs in order. Going to get you an LLC from Zen Business. Zen Business is basically brought to you by Mark Cuban, not my Zuckerberg, not that guy, not lizard guy, but Mark Cuban, OG, Dallas Mavericks. You see him out there. But make sure you get it right there. They'll really help you out and get yourself together. And also, too, I see sometimes they offer things on there where they give you free, and all you have to do is pay is the filing fees. You can go through it. They have a ton of suite of tools you can do. You can have bank accounts in there. There's a lot of stuff you can do in there. But if you use this link down below, it really helps us, helps the channel, helps us be able to put out more content. So if you're looking for LLC or you know what one is, please reach out to them, let them know. But check out Zen Business. Now you're probably thinking, okay, I did all the stuff you said. Now, how do I know this is working? Well, first thing is that if you're doing it during the winter, you're not going to know it's working until next winter. But not some of the stuff. But for most stuff, you'll see that you'll be better prepared for certain situations. You have key dates that you have on your calendar somewhere that you're like, I need to hire here. I need to be ready to wind down on these days. I need to be hiring back up. If you kind of like us, we have two busy seasons during the year, which for us would be April, May, and then we'll have September through mid-December. So you kind of know when you need to wind down, when you need to go up and stuff like that. That's kind of a simple thing. But like if you know it's working on during what you call it, is like, first of all, you'll probably just feel better. Like you won't be like another thing like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Like I'm prepared.
Yeah, you'll feel a little better on there. And then you'll know exactly what you need to do to get to what you need. That's the biggest thing. What else would you say, Eddie?
I mean, those are pretty much the key points. It's just you're going to have like some sense of direction. A lot of times if you don't know what to do, you just do random things. And when you do random things, you get random results. You can actually kind of project and see like what these would directly affect. Like, for instance, we'll just say like you're budgeting. You'll say, hey, I'm going to buy this at this specific time. And then once you do that, you can see like if your actually sales grow because of that specific item. I know we have a specific software that we've built. And we can see the effects if we buy specific items and then what effect they have during that time when we actually have it in our possession to our sales. And because like sometimes I think everybody gets asked certain questions, hey, do you have this? And you may not have it in inventory. But, you know, when you finally do get an inventory, you can see the difference maker of like what impact it has on your cash flow and your revenue and whatnot after that purchase is made.
Yeah. And those policies will be like immediately. You'll probably start seeing those from the start. You're probably the whole goal is to be able to get to how can you grow your pot of gold during the winter. And I think that's kind of like the where you get to the point where you're like, oh, it's working. No matter what part of the year in there, that pot of gold is just growing and growing and growing. Mm. So that's kind of the biggest thing to get to. And a lot of these beer companies that you might see, they're not saying they like figured out the magic solution and they put the cheat code in there. But they figured out what works for them during that time, how they do from scaling up, scaling down really quickly to be able to adjust and be able to keep that pot of gold growing. And sometimes too, for them, they just might go heavy during the year and just might take a small loss or anything. So you got to depend on which way you're going to go about it. But for us, we ain't trying to take no losses. So we got to go that way. It's going to be interesting. We have a really interesting year coming up this year. We have a lot of more different things.
All right. So I do have a statistic for us today. According to McKinsey Global Institute, data-driven organizations are not only 23 times more likely to acquire customers, but they're also 6 times as likely to retain customers and 19 times more likely to be profitable.
So if you know your numbers and you look at your numbers on a regular basis, you probably do better. So what is that thing? You ever heard a thing say, well, what is tracked is improved?
Yeah.
So
it's the same thing that we do in our business. Like everything is data-driven. And I keep going back to it, and everyone's like, "When are you gonna release it?" But the same thing with like our software, we collect all the data, and then we make our decision based off of the data and the times that it makes sense to do these things. And it's the same thing that everybody should do. You can pen and paper it all, and if you don't have something like this, and just kind of make your judgments on, okay, well, this makes sense to execute this plan that we had at this specific time. It's like, for instance, like the planning. Right now, it makes sense to do all your planning because now you have all this extra time. But if you don't do any planning, and then, I mean, just be prepared for those results, like for being unprepared. But right now is the time to get prepared for the coming times, because it's just a matter of time until the switch is turned back on and everything starts running like crazy.
Yeah, so if you don't plan, then you plan to fail.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what it's saying is. But let's go into the rental rundown where we tackle your FAQs.
So the first question that I have for you guys is it better to pivot my business expenses during the winter time if I'm a smaller business that doesn't make a lot of sales, or is it better for me to just temporarily close shop entirely?
This comes down to a couple different factors, like your location and the weather situation. Like if you're in Los Angeles like this, that is no excuse to ever do close up shop. Like, do not do that. Now, if you in, you know, in Ohio or Alaska or in, you know, Buffalo, New York or something like that, whatever, somewhere where it snows a lot, just name a place. Or even Chicago sometimes, if you're outside of the city area.
A blizzard.
Yeah, and stuff like that. It might be more expensive to keep it open than to keep it closed. So that might be part of your strategy where you need to save up whatever those fixed cost expenses you have with that and do that. And then also, you know, you want to go through and kind of have your, maybe you still collect sales during that time and you still do your marketing stuff, you just don't do any orders. So that can be a way. And then, or like some people who maybe they have a different business that they might run and you just have two businesses, which some people like that. Just depend on yourself. But you don't technically, even in those areas, like I know like in Chicago, like Marquee doesn't shut down. Like it's not like, they're not going away on there. They're redirecting their efforts toward different things, but like, they're not closing down their warehouses completely because they got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Bright in Los Angeles, I know for a fact they're not closing down because it's in Los Angeles. It's one of the best places to be at, except for business-wise, but for weather-wise. Yeah. So what do you think, Eddie?
Well, I think you just pretty much explained everything. I mean, you know, it depends on, like, how far you are in your business. And well, on the question, is it small business? So it might make more sense to go to hibernation mode and just wait for better season, you know, better temperatures to be able to do more business easier. So yeah, just like I said, it just depends on your business and what your capabilities are. Because I know I was joking around, it's like, all right, if you're the type that can hit it really easily on easy mode, which is like when the good times when it's easy to make a sale, then you have to roll with what you're good at. But if you can hit it hard in hard mode and like get the sales during the winter blizzards and the hardship times, then just a route you can take. But it just all depends on your capabilities, because I say now, like you want to put a fish where he can swim. You can't put them in an environment where they can't thrive. So it just depends on the individual that's running the business and what their capabilities are.
Yeah, and also like if you're full-time or not too. So like if you have another job on the side, it might just be worth it just to take the calls and just leave it alone, yeah, and then come back to it. And, you know, it depends on what you're trying to make out of this. So I can see that.
All right. So the second question that I have for you guys is, what do I do if there's an unexpected spike in demand when I've already minimized operations?
Hit Pedro up at Home Depot. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, that is an option, too.
Yeah, labor pool.
Yeah, but right. Yeah, labor pool. Another thing is we have like a huge list of people that we can just go down the list. And whenever big projects come up, we just easily pull people. A lot of the people are experienced. So we never completely get rid of all their information. We just keep it around. You know, sometimes they might want to venture off and do other things, but we just have the information in case these situations come up. Say, hey, do you want to do this? This is what it pays. And everybody's situation is different. Sometimes like, oh, perfect, I needed some extra money, so this works out great. So just that's what we do. We just have all their people's information. That way, if this situation does come around, that we're able to get it knocked out.
Yeah, and this is what we talk about too, the planning wise. So just make sure you make a plan for this. Have a situation where like, if you have 5 days notice, like, what are you going to do to get two extra, three extra staff? Where are you going to get it from? And then have a couple different options. Maybe labor pool. Maybe friends and family. Maybe you put out an ad. Put something out there. You better figure it out. Don't be worried too much about it. If you get a sudden spike, that's a good thing that you have during the winter season. Thank you guys so much for watching. We hope you enjoyed this video. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we are the Rental Boys, and we'll see you in the next one. Tito.
And if you like this video and would like to see more videos like this, please check this playlist down here.
You haven't subscribed. Why haven't you subscribed? I need you.
Like, share, comment, and subscribe.